really
nice.
Honesty is very, very important. Very important. But there again, by being too honest and truthful, you can also cause harm. If you never told a lie, even a white lie, always told the truth. For example, let's say I wake up in the morning and I look like death warmed over, and I'm wearing something that is a little, makes me look very silly. And Mark says to me, "Oh, that looks very nice, huh?" Not to hurt my feelings. And I go out and everybody's laughing, sniffing at me, not that they would, because I don't really care. But then, I would get upset because I'd be made a fool of. So sometimes telling white lies is acceptable to protect.
Well, hon, that's being considerate.
Mm-hmm.
What I was discussing was a person's feelings changing toward another person.
Uh-huh.
Let them know. Don't lie to them.
Yes, true. That is admirable. But also people's feelings change constantly. Yeah, one moment you can absolutely detest somebody, and the next moment you can absolutely adore somebody, or a week later you adore somebody. It's something that is, at the moment.
That's a good point. You haven't thought of that, mm-hmm. but you're quite correct.
Mm-hmm.
I found that to be actually true in many relationships where they do something. But yeah, you get a couple of things and it's like right back on square one again.
Yeah. But one of the most common things that I've noticed talking to quite a number of people that have been here about relationships is that a lot of people mistake lust for love.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is a problem. Something that needs to be realized, that love isn't something that happens like that. Even with twin souls or triple souls. Now, I had very little feelings towards Mark or Tia. I felt complete, and I knew that they were triple souls, but it wasn't something that sort of like, bam, this big revelation. Sort of like, okay, they're my triple souls, big deal.
Is that because you get to deal with that situation a lot?
Mm-hmm. But it's something that, there's a common misconception, especially on the third dimension, that it's this big, big revelation. It's not. It really isn't. It's not a big deal at all. Being complete and whole is wonderful. It's a great feeling. But there isn't always love between twin souls or triple souls or even quadruple souls. It's something that takes time. And in taking time, it's something that, you have to learn to accept. A lot of people... again, especially on the third dimension, act on their bodily instincts, which can frequently be wrong. The act of following your instinct and following your heart that's acting at the moment, it's like my grandmother said that having love for everything is great, but using the mind to realize what is right. Sometimes love can be very misleading and very dangerous. It can lead to destruction. But by using your mind and analyzing a situation and realizing what is right and what is wrong and what should or should not be done, and combining that with the feeling of love, if everything works out how you want it to work, for example, let's say, looking for the perfect guy. I want blonde hair, blue eyes, 6 foot tall, muscular build, highly intelligent, psychically active in all 5 abilities. That's saying what I want. And if I'm not prepared to lower my standards, and I wait and look and search for that person, and I find them finally, then I'm going to do my best to make sure it works, because they meet all my criteria. I haven't lowered my standards. So therefore, I've decided what I want. And there's no point in lowering one's standards. To lower one's standards is accepting second, third, fourth, or even fifth best. Who wants to accept third or fourth or fifth or second best? Anybody?
I'm just absorbing everything you're saying.
I was formed in the question as well. Yes or no?
Sorry.
You prepared to accept anything less than the best that you want?
Well, I want.
How do you know? How do we know anything? I mean, we could continue from where we left off last week. But I think that might be flogging a dead dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it is accepting what we want and not settling for anything less. You know, to settle for less, does that give us happiness? Well,
yeah, that sometimes it does.
Settling for less?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of total, full happiness? Give me an example.
Okay. You know, I could do at least $500,000 right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But until that happens, I'm perfectly happy with settling for what I have with me until that time comes.
But you're working towards it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you haven't settled for it, though. You're working towards it.
Yeah, I've settled
You haven't even settled for the moment because you're working towards it. To settle for second best means that that's as far as you're going to go. You're not. Is that correct?
That's quite correct.
So, therefore, you haven't settled for second best.
Well, how could we? We're third-dimensional creatures. We're trying to get to the sixth dimension.
That's correct.
Never stop going for...
No, I'm talking about
financial.
The particular goals that you set in this incarnation.
Right.
Okay. So by settling and setting the objective and working towards it, yeah, you're not settling for second best. You're working towards it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree, Skip?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, now here's a question for you. Were I to die tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
I would be working in my desire to work toward that $500,000, whatever my goal happens to be. Wouldn't that keep me behind as far as before I can move on to the next?
Not necessarily.
Attached to it? I've got that attachment.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
No.
No, because, yeah, it's
you may have, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
You may have learned what you're supposed to learn now.
Mm-hmm.
So you would go ahead and do that, no matter whether you've still got things to accomplish in your 3D mind or not.
Exactly what I was going to say, but worded differently.
So I would see the utility of that $500,000.
Not necessarily.
No, you're still working.
Mm-hmm. But it would just be a different objective. What would possibly happen is that all the events that you've set in to action would end up amassing that amount after your departure, and then your child would benefit. So therefore, yeah, and you would be detached from it and remote from it. It would be irrelevant at that point. Now, having learned all that you're supposed to learn, it's your time to move on. It's your time. No ifs, ands, or buts. So therefore, any plans or anything that you have that are not relevant to your moving on are besides the point. They may or may not bear fruition.
Well, I've achieved most all of my goals.
Except you think so?
The ones I set early in my life that I wanted to achieve by a certain time period. Now my goals have all been changing to make room for the new goals that they want me to work on. Become more spiritual than they are physical.
Mm-hmm.
They constantly change. Even if you're not even spiritual aware, they still constantly
change. Oh, yeah.
But
that's part of the growth patterns. That's all part of growing, all part of learning. You see, to grow and to advance is all part of the evolution of the being. Constantly advancing, constantly growing, constantly struggling, even up to the last moment. You've got to continue that advancing. You cannot sit down and vegetate and sort of like, my life is done, it's over, let's just sit in a chair and watch entertainment all day. That achieves nothing. Even if you do that at a younger age, what does it do for you? You have no goals, no objectives, no ambitions to do anything, no wanting to do anything. What's the point of that?
Well, I read something today that it's about bacteria, the only form of culture some people have.
Amoeba.
Mm-hmm.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is very true.
I mean,
never progress out of that state.
And, you know, as much as you try to coax them and push them and prod them and give them all the incentives and everything, that's all that they ever will be. Because they've lacked, the learning capability to learn the lessons, and they repeat the same mistakes over and over again, ask the same questions over and over again, just different ways. Not even remembering that they've asked those questions or having the cognitive capability to be able to, realize that they've asked those questions. Yeah, to realize that they're asking the same question in a different way. You know, how many times can you ask the same question in different ways? It's endless. Endless possibilities, like we were discussing last week. It's mm-hmm. endless. Infinite mm-hmm. number of possibilities to ask one question.
Yeah, and then it's the same thing lifetime after lifetime after lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this brings me to a point of a news item that came about today, which I don't know if you've heard of or not. It's a school shooting out in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Holland came in and took out a lot of his schoolmates. Now, you have to ask yourself, and this goes, of course, into last week's discussion on what's the point? And, you know, you have to realize that there must be a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And we even can't see it. We can be shocked by the events and the acts that take place. Perhaps that's part of the reason. I think it's incomprehensible at this point to know what is the reason, where is this leading to.
Okay, what is the emotional reaction to that event?
It's not like,
now, what was your emotional reaction to it?
My emotional reaction?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly shock.
Define shock.
A shock of, seeing, something of this nature taking place. Why? I think that's a good one. The question comes up. Why?
Yeah, I'm just asking for curiosity's sake. Tia's still working on poor Tia. That's besides the point. Tia has a lot of work.
That is. Why even consider such a thing?
From what I see, and I'm going to sound a little bit like Tia, it's part of the moral degradation of society. They're becoming more and more common, that kind of incident. Not necessarily at educational facilities, but that kind of relating, going in, shooting up a whole load of people, and taking your own life. Kind of like taking people with you. I can't have it, so nobody else will. I'll make sure that X number of people suffer just as bad as I am. It's part of the breakdown. What is to stop that from happening? Well, as Kia might say, instilling strong moral virtues is very, very important.
Getting back our moral standards is one of the biggest.
Now, you can turn on your communication, your entertainment devices, and see horror, and you get numb to it. You see it in your entertainment. You see it in your news. You see it portrayed as noble. You see it being portrayed right now, going in and inflicting harm on people as being noble. And then in the next breath, you see it as being bad and wrong. One moment they're telling you about the bombing and the losses in Kosovo. And then the next moment they're being shocked and stunned and horrified that, yeah, people are killing other people at a schoolyard.
Well, is it the two events related as far as business?
Not according to the news report I see.
Yeah. But you see, the problem is that one moment it's good, and then the next moment it's bad. Yeah, to take any life or destroy any property is bad, regardless. Even if the cause is good, it's still bad. Yeah, there is no right to go in and to destroy somebody else's property to enforce your will. Just because they're doing it to their own people, doesn't it make it right to come in and do it to them because they're doing it to their own people? And it isn't right to go in and shoot up a whole load of school children. You see what I'm saying? And sorry, I do sound very much like you, don't I? Correct.
A little similar to the Syrian Chronicles as far as the breakdown of society?
Probably the early stages, the early symptoms.
Right. Our whole world is going that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I asked last week. We're headed for the same end as Atlantis. Between our moral standards and our technology and everything else, we're going down the tube.
And I wouldn't say just Atlantis. I mean, you can look at some of your more recent historical groups. The Romans, the Greeks, they had fantastic technologies for the time. The Incas.
The Egyptians.
The Egyptians. Yeah, the Persians.
Yeah, the Mayans.
The Mayans. You can sit there.
What I was trying to get across, it isn't just one nation, one ethnic group. The whole world's doing it.
Unfortunately, this time it is.
And it's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this a step necessary for our growth somehow or another? That's part of it?
Possibly. I mean, we can sit here and discuss it until we're green in the face.
Yeah, and it won't change it.
Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Who knows? But, yeah, the thing is that, yes, I am a theologist amongst being a coercer and an engineer. I do like to debate philosophy. As I get older, I get more like my grandmother, believe it or not.
I think we all do that, don't we? Mm-hmm. Even in the 3D. Because I've gotten to the point where I don't let too many things bother me anymore.
And my grandmother, a lot does bother her, but she has her work. Mm-hmm. And she looks like a wrinkled prune right now.
Oh, what the heck?
Hey, I'm teasing.
That's a badge of Miles.
Mm-hmm.
She's been through all three of her regenerations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her eyesight's starting to go, unfortunately, as well. No. She knows her way around.
Well, it's not confined to our species either.
Oh, no.
Or our world.
No. Just ask Laika.
Absolutely.
It scared the hell out of me.
Well, when you see it yourself, it is different. I mean, I've never seen any kind of hostility like that. I've seen mock hostility. I've seen, you know, Laika and her soldiers having exercises. I've seen big exercises. I've seen small exercises. And it's all fun. They get up afterwards, shake hands, throw snowballs at each other, throw mud pies at each other, whatever. And it's, for them, yeah, it's part of their life. They've seen it. I haven't. Quick question, Russ. Did you get my email?
Which one? The one you sent me today?
No, the one fresh full of fish?
Yeah, I got that one.
Okay. That's acceptable and usable? Okay. I edited very, very heavily. And for obvious reasons, as I stated, the whole entire thing could be much, much longer, even Leah's story. was heavily, heavily edited. I took about 6 hours and condensed it down into about yay big. I think it was less than 6 hours. Sorry? Good, good. So you don't mind me doing the report on the spot thing?
No, actually, that's actually quite a good bit. Mm-hmm. People enjoy to read more about stuff than I can tell them.
Oh, yeah.
More that you're from you guys.
Mm-hmm. So I'm officially the reporter on the spot.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to get some name-based stuff, too.
Oh, I was thinking doing some gossip stuff.
That'll work.
But some of it can't be printed.
Well, good party last night.
Mm-hmm. Gonna put that in. Oh, well. We're eating time.
Greetings and felicitations. Greetings, Skip. Greetings, Russ. Okay, let us briefly go over Kiri's comments about the situations in Pulsifer and in the suburb of Denver. Kiri's comments on, you know, which is correct, which is right, and which is wrong is very correct. She is showing good aptitude that she is getting more serious about the discussions that you have in the channeling sessions. In fact, 2 good weeks was almost a rare occurrence from Kiri. But so far, her last 3 discussions have been all very good, very deep and profound. Maybe she is starting to mature. Okay, let us throw the floor open for discussion, or do you wish me to pick a topic at random and we can flog it to death?
Actually, I have one question about Kiri's comments I wanted to get cleared up before I put on the webpage, where she mentioned talking to people who have been here. I'm not sure who she's referring to.
I believe that she was referring to people that have been present in channeling sessions, such as Bethany, Kerry, Karen, Skip, Laura, Lara. I believe the list is actually quite large.
I'll make a
Okay. Do we pick a topic or do we discuss things at random?
One thing I wanted to work on a little bit was the shooting that did happen in the suburbs of Denver. Mm-hmm. And the ability to people to snap. Whereas, as Kiri was saying, there was a point where the moral base that people work from in the past has been stronger than it has been now, apparently. Mm-hmm. And the ability to snap and just lose it all in a moment, or even pre-plan it for days or a week, seems to have gotten less and less.
Yes.
Is, as she was saying, the sign of the times, media related, perhaps?
Perhaps, yes. It is definitely the moral issue that life has become cheap. That you do see, as Kiri put it, so much death and destruction on your entertainment devices. It has become popular entertainment to watch people being maimed and killed, whether it is in a pseudo-entertainment world or in actual fact on your news services. Mm-hmm. Pick a movie.
Groundhog Day.
Is there somebody killed in that?
Many times.
Correct.
Yes.
Pick another one. Are there people being killed in that?
Yeah.
In what?
I am not familiar with Fantasia.
It's
Nor was I familiar with Groundhog Day. Okay, let's pick another one.
That's good.
You mean violent ones?
Any.
Well, even the cartoons the kids watch, which are, what, 5 minutes of cartoons or 10 minutes? They're beating up on each other, they're killing each other, and everything else.
So, therefore, this is a part of society accepted. Most people, until recently, it seems to me, were aware that that was for entertainment and it was not real. Now the lines have become blurred because of your news media showing people getting shot, blown up, running out of houses on fire, bombs being dropped, being shot on beaches, being shot at vacation resorts, at high schools, at colleges, at universities. And they hear all the gory details and see all the gory details, but they become numb to it. So therefore, it loses its value as life. So it is definitely a sign of the times. Whether or not it is a sign of an end or a beginning is unknown.
Yeah, that's the media's fault.
I wouldn't say just the media. I would say it's people in general being prepared to sit down and see these events as it happens. It is a negative side of the technology communication revolution.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the morals seem to have gone by the wayside.
In dealing with it, then, an individual's morals are what are really important for now, and it passes on to others that you deal with.
Correct.
But they're not being passed on. That's the problem.
Well, you and I and Mark, we pass our morals on.
Okay. Present company accepted. But the young people growing up, their folks aren't teaching them morals like we were taught.
Well, is this maybe a problem of single families or single parent families, perhaps?
No, not really. Even double parent families. Single parent families, it used to be that you didn't live with another person unless you were married. Now it's an accepted thing for two people to live together. Period.
This skip is quite correct.
Mm-hmm. And that's where that's the beginning of your breakdown of your morals, right there. That's the start of it. And using vulgar or cursing language, there's another problem.
Mm-hmm.
The parents use it, the kids use it, and it's accepted all over, even the films and movies, and it is using the vulgar language. Which, if we used vulgar language when I was a kid, you'd get your mouth washed out with something.
That's right. One of my kids playing games like that. So I'm seeing it more mm-hmm. and more.
Yeah, you're seeing it all the time. And even in feature films that are entertainment, the people are using foul language. They use four-letter words like they're running out of style.
But again, it is quite correct. It is something that can be changed. If you start at an early age that you do not use curse words, foul or abusive language, especially around a child and an infant, therefore it teaches, even at an early age, that it is wrong. And if you explain later to a child that the reason that the child mustn't use the language, even at school, with the companions of the child, is because a child, by not falling in with those word structures, becomes superior, becomes morally better, becomes educationally better, is looked upon with more respect. At first, it will be looked upon as the child is a wimp, but if the child holds to the patterns laid down by the parent or parents, then the child becomes morally better and in later life looked upon and respected as long as the child also acts with strength. And if the child is instructed in a way that uses the child's mind, that it can result to name-calling, so the other children do not understand that they're being name-called, increases a child's intellect and also makes a child realize that it can help its friends in the same way. One drop of water can be the drop of water that overflows the bucket or fills the vessel to full, whatever you wish to phrase it as. But it is important from the get-go that there is no foul or abusive language.
What I keep running into, and it's not my generation, it's the generation that Mark and Russ are more or less in, which would be, what, two generations behind me?
More or less.
Yeah. Is even the ladies that have children are using foul and abusive language, even around their children.
Which is totally wrong and unacceptable.
But everybody, I say everybody, I'm using terminology, what I've run into, accepts it. And by accepting it, they're tearing up their own morals, their own loyalty. When I was a kid, patriotism and loyalty was something that was made you glow from the inside. There isn't any of that left in it. The same with journeymen doing their job. There's no craftsmanship left anymore, or it seems not to be, okay? In my own personal looking at things, we've gone to a point of where they've made this a throwaway world.
You again are very correct. It is definitely changing, whether it is changing for the better or for the worse, is something that is yet to be seen. But it is definitely the pangs of the society that is changing. Whether or not there will be a few voices in the wilderness, such as yourselves, that say, stop, this is enough, it must change. The old ways were probably correct. The new ways are probably incorrect or correct, depending on your point of view. But blending the two together, certainly having a higher technology, but having the intelligence to use the technology in such a way that it benefits all and lays a moral pathway that is beneficial for all.
Well, Skip brings up a good point on the question of patriotism. It seems now with the advanced communications abilities of both the media and the internet, patriotism seems to have fallen by the wayside, and we seem to be on that road. Now, the question I have is, again, as you mentioned, is it for the good or for the bad? Now, one would say, yes, it's for the good because patriotism brings a good sense of unity to the country you're in. But at the same time, our efforts to change to a more world-united planet would seem to be pushing in the direction that says, well, maybe patriotism toward a species, as us being humans, or a species being involved with living on one planet, might be important for the future also.
Yes, but also, sorry, continue.
But what's happening here is that's not happening. People are losing patriotism in their country, or their ethnic background, or their religion, or whatever, or their country, but they're not replacing it with the patriotism of earthlings or humans or whatever. It's not being replaced. It's just being thrown away.
Again, Skip is very correct. You're doing very well tonight as well, I might add.
Thank you.
I believe it was Kiri that was discussing pride in one's ethnic group. I believe it was in connection with the comment of, aren't you Athens after all. And Kiri said, her answer was, well, I'm Syrian first, but I'm also from the highlands second. It is good to have pride in your ethnic heritage, mm-hmm. in your ethnic group. So it would be equally wise and sensible to have pride in the fact that, first of all, you're human, but secondly, you're Americans. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, you are of Native American descent or Polish descent or German descent or Irish or all of the above. But you are Americans, secondly, and humans first.
No one seems to be pushing that end of it, though. You're right. No one's replacing it.
That's it, exactly.
Something should be done. And we should replace it with something.
Maybe the talk here now should be turned into action. Don't forget, you may be the little drops that are prelude to the storm, the shower.
I absolutely agree.
The rain cloud burst.
Sure. I understand. I mean, what we have at tools available, quite easy to do, actually. It'd take a long time to get going, but you know, time is what's all we have left.
Well,
lessons to be learned. It's a good lesson.
Hmm.
I mean, some of the groups that have pushed for something similar, for example, Earth First and Greenpeace, things like that, and pushing to, more planet awareness, mm-hmm. global awareness, mm-hmm. have all gone about it in a almost terrorist tactic kind of way.
Sometimes they do, yeah.
But they do not have the structure. So they say we're all humans, humans first, Earth first. But they do not replace it with or have the structure to say, yes, we are all humans first, but you are Americans, secondly. You are Germans, secondly. You are French, secondly. You are whatever country you are living in, secondly. Having pride in that area is just as important as having pride in the whole entire planet. After all, if you do not have pride in your area, how can you have pride for the whole entire planet?
Yeah.
So by having pride in the fact that you are Americans, Skip and Russ are Americans, secondly, that humans first. But it is just as important and equally as important to have pride in both, as it is equally important to have a left and a right, a night and a day, a hot and a cold. They are the partners to each other. It is the partnership of Americans second, but Earthlings first that is the key. You can say you're all humans first, and if you're all humans first, then you have to have, you are Americans, you are Germans, you are British, you are French second. Mm-hmm. But in actual fact, they are not second. They're also first. But in your analogies and understanding, it is the wording.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What comes after that? For example, are we then living beings first, earthlings second?
Let us
one
take one step at a time.
In our 3D society, I would say that we're earthlings or humans first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're either Americans, French, German, whatever. Then our ethnic background
is third.
Would be third.
That is quite correct.
What I guess irritates me more than anything else is somebody that comes from a different country into ours and does nothing but tear it down and yet continues to stay here and reap the benefits of what we have put out.
Yes, I understand that that would be frustrating.
And yet we can't throw them out just because they have the Second Amendment of our Constitution, the freedom of speech.
Right.
Not second.
It is.
Second is the right to bear arms.
It is the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah.
No, the Fifth Amendment is the refusing to answer any question on the grounds that I may incriminate myself.
First Amendment.
The First Amendment is freedom of speech, I believe.
Oh, okay. All right. I had it.
stuff.
The Fifth Amendment is I refuse to answer any question on the grounds that I may incriminate myself.
Right.
Which is getting some chuckles up here, by the way.
And yet people use it.
Yes. People that shouldn't use it, use it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the first, you're right, First Amendment is a freedom of speech. The Second Amendment is the right to bear arms.
Russ, when you come to this part, check and confirm that so that there is accuracy.
Okay.
It is important.
I'll do some heavy editing.
Even if it's necessary to go back into edit and correct.
No, I think I got the amendments on the plaque.
Well, there is a mission for you. Type it up on your computer and send it an email for. As well as being able to use your computer to, as an experiment. This is a challenge. To convince at least one person that they are humans first, an American or whatever nationality they are second, but the fact being that both are equal.
It's easy for me. I've got a web page to work with.
Yeah.
That's my next editorial.
Outside of the web page.
Oh, outside of it.
Correct. Convince one person.
I think what bothers me more than anything else about patriotism and loyalty is at one time, our flag was very sacred. It didn't touch the ground. It was put up in daylight and was taken down at dusk. It was only put up certain ways. Now people burn it, throw it on the ground, stomp on it, and everything else.
Make clothing out of it.
Yes. And that's very aggravating to me. Because that's a symbol of our country. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's quite correct. I was thinking and dwelling for a second.
Yeah, I mean, thinking and dwelling too.
But that is, that's just like the American bald eagle and the American flag. Them are symbols of our country. And they should be honored highly.
Mm-hmm.
And they aren't anymore.
Interesting. I got the idea of an Earth flag that would also still be beneficial.
Mm-hmm. See, from what I understand, the UN has started to set this thing up. When this UN, the United Nations, was formed, this is basically what they were trying to do, was put the whole world, more or less, under one administration, if you want to call it that. Just a word. But that's the way it looked to me, like when they first formed the UN, for all of these different countries to come to one place to try to solve the problems of the world. I think they've abused it.
Oh, it has definitely changed from what it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It is now almost to the point of a League of Nations. Anybody remember what happened to the League of Nations?
World War One started.
It was created after World War One. Basically, yes. And it failed. It failed in its purpose and goal.
You know, it's still a problem with the United Nations, the fact that only a few major countries have veto power.
Exactly.
So no matter what all everybody else thinks, or one says. Country can say, well, too bad.
Mm-hmm. And our country, as young as it is, it's a baby of the world, more or less, is one of the greater powers.
Mm-hmm. We exercise that veto power quite a bit.
And by being a greater power, they more or less stomp on the little people. They do what they damn well do.